Hello and welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week in worship, Pastor David continues his series on the kingdom of God with the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Let's listen.
Well, we are beginning a brand new series. We started it last week, but it is about the kingdom of God, something that Jesus often preached about. If you missed last week, that's okay. I'll recap it really quickly. I want you to have a working definition of what the kingdom of God is before we begin our time studying it. So last week, we determined that the kingdom of God is the world as it is meant to be. All of us have an inner sense that things are not as they are meant to be. When you look out at the world, you realize that's not quite right. But God is building his kingdom in this world. God is building his kingdom in such a way to create the world as it is meant to be. That really is the vision of the kingdom of God. But when we study the kingdom of God, that language can make it more challenging to understand what Jesus really meant to say. I mean, how often do we use the word kingdom these days? Not much. When I think of the word kingdom, I think of a castle up on a hill, something you would see in the medieval period or perhaps today in Europe. That's what I think of when I think of a kingdom. This language doesn't help us in a modern context when we are exploring what Jesus meant when he preached about the kingdom of God. Often, Christians have gotten into trouble when they have thought of the kingdom of God as a physical place. Christians over time have gone and tried to conquer other countries to establish God's kingdom in those countries, and they have missed the point of what God really meant when Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. It's an easy mistake to make, though. Jesus' own disciples were confused about this. They believed that Jesus was going to come and usher in a physical kingdom in the world. We see this in the very beginning of the book of Acts. So by this point, Jesus has been crucified, dead, and buried, and then 3 days later was resurrected, and then he comes to his disciples, and the disciples have a question for him, a question basically of what comes next. They go up to him, and they say, "Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" They think, now, God, now that you're resurrected, are you going to bring a physical kingdom here on this earth? They're thinking back to the days of the Old Testament, the days of King David and King Solomon, when Israel and their people did have a physical kingdom here on earth. And so they're wondering, God, are you now ready to usher in this physical kingdom? And in so many words, Jesus says, no. No, that's not the type of kingdom that I'm building here on earth. My kingdom is going to be different than that. And Jesus describes what his kingdom is going to be like in a series of parables. Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is like, and then would share a story or a parable that would help us understand the type of kingdom that Jesus is ushering in. So today, I'd like for us to spend some time in those parables to see if we can deepen our understanding of the type of kingdom that Jesus is building here on earth. We're going to begin with a story from Matthew, and Matthew uses the language kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God, but it means the same thing. And so let's see what Jesus has to say through these series of parables. It says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Let's take a moment and explore this parable to see what we learn about the kingdom of God. We begin understanding that a mustard seed is a small, small seed. Jesus says the smallest of all seeds. You see a picture of it on the screen. We also put it on your bulletin cover so you can see just how small a mustard seed really is. But it does not stay small. No, eventually a mustard seed grows and develops into the largest of garden plants, or even a tree. We've got a picture of a mustard tree in the Middle East to show you how big they can really grow from such small, humble beginnings. Have you ever heard the expression, great oaks grow from little acorns? That's a bit about what is going on here. So you get the context of the parable, but what is Jesus trying to teach about the kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God starts small. It's even unnoticed for a time, but like a tree that emerges from the smallest of seeds, there will come a time when the kingdom of God emerges in such a way that it will be impossible to ignore. Jesus makes the same point in a new parable in the next verse. In verse 33, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So the normal method of baking in the ancient world was to take your new dough, but also have a little bit of your old fermented dough that was from your last baking project. You would hang on to a little bit of that dough, and that would act as your yeast. And you would put that dough into the new dough. You'd insert it right into the middle, and then as you bake it, from the inside out, it would expand all of your new dough. To make this parable really understandable in how big a scope we're thinking, you see that the woman uses a lot of flour, 60 pounds of it. That's enough to serve a small-sized village. And yet, the parable, the point is the same, that the kingdom of God might seem initially small, initially insignificant, but there will be a time when it expands and becomes widespread in this world. You see, both parables that Jesus tells back to back are making a similar point. They speak of small, barely perceptible beginnings which eventually result in a spectacular transformation. This is what Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. So how does that work for us then? What does that mean for us today as Christians who are trying to live within God's kingdom? How do we apply these parables to our lives? Well, have you ever had an idea that you just couldn't shake? An idea that took root so deeply inside of you that you knew there was no letting it go. That happened to my wife, Sarah, once. She took a mission trip to Ecuador as a high school student. And while there, for the very first time, she worked with orphans at an orphanage. And she felt in that moment, she told me years later, that God placed a small idea in her heart. That one day she wanted to make a difference in a child's life and adopt a child that needed to be adopted. Now, she realized that she was in high school at that time. She was not close to being married. She was not close to starting a family. And yet, that idea never left her. To the point that when I got to know her in college, years later, and we began dating and talking seriously about marriage, she sat me down once and had to have a conversation. She said, David, you have to know I love you, but I feel that God wants me to create my family through adoption. And she said, you have to find out if God also wants you to do that, because if not, well, there's the door. In so many words. And I told her, I said, I'd never really considered this before. I don't know. Give me some time to really pray about this and discern in my own life whether this is how God wants me to create my family. And so I did that, and you know the end of the story. We got married. We've got two beautiful daughters who we adopted at birth, And I got to tell you, I thank God every day that Sarah did not ignore that small idea that God placed on her heart. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to feel that God might be stirring something in you, but then come up with all the reasons why it wouldn't work. Sarah could have said, I'm in high school. I'm not dating anyone. No, I'm not even going to think about this right now. But she didn't do that. Because this is one of the ways that God builds his kingdom here on earth. God plants these small ideas, these seeds within your heart that will have a positive impact on the world. And the kingdom grows when we respond to those ideas. Yes, the kingdom of God may start small, like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds. But when we respond to it, it will have a spectacular impact on the world. Jesus goes a little bit deeper into this concept in another parable that's told in the Gospel of Luke. Luke says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. You see, this statement tells us a shocking truth about when the kingdom of God comes and where the kingdom of God comes. The kingdom of God is built in the hearts of God's followers. The kingdom of God is an internal reality. The kingdom of God is within you. God's kingdom, Jesus says, is not something that can be directly observable. You can't point to it like a castle on a hill, saying, look, there's the kingdom. Instead, God's kingdom is being built in the hearts of people who say, I'm going to make God the king of my life. Yes, I am going to allow God to use me in any way God sees fit. And that's how the kingdom of God then begins to grow and develop from these small, barely perceptible beginnings. So the kingdom of God is built every day that people say, yes, God, you can be king of my heart. The kingdom of God is built every day when people renounce their old lives and old selves and say, I'm turning it all over to you, God. When lives are transformed because of the movement of the Spirit, that is the kingdom of God in action. I have a good friend who worked for a woodworking shop. And he didn't love his job. He didn't hate his job. It was just a job. But the time he felt closest to God was on Sunday mornings when he was a volunteer in his praise band. He would sing and play guitar and feel his soul come alive. Well, he told me once that he felt God place that small, mustard seed-sized idea in his heart. And the idea was to quit his job and find a full-time job leading worship at a church, which he had never done before. Well, he, of course, suppressed that idea and ignored that idea and talked back to God, saying, God, that's not a good idea. And these are the reasons why. You know, I've got a family. I need to support them. I've got a job that's very secure right now. And yet, that idea never left him. To the point where he told me he was sitting in church, much like a Sunday like today, and he heard a sermon about the mustard seed and how God can start something small in your life and then grow it when you respond to it. And he realized at that point that that's exactly what God was doing in his life. In fact, his words, I wrote them down because they were so important to me. He said, it just clicked at that point that I realized God had placed this idea for worship leadership on my heart. And I could deny it and suppress it all I wanted to, or I could take a leap of faith. And that's what he did. He found a full-time job leading worship. He quit his other job. He had to move his family about 2 hours away, and he's never looked back. He's still leading worship. He has actually 2 CDs that are out that people can be blessed by the type of worship that now he is bringing out into the world. That's how the kingdom of God is built. When people just like me and you respond to what God is doing within us and say, yes, okay, God, I'm listening, and I am going to act. Have you experienced a similar sort of mustard seed-sized idea in your heart? A type of idea that could change the world if you said yes to it? Are you experiencing that right now? Have you come into worship thinking, God, I don't want to be thinking that. No, God, I don't want you to have that idea in my life, and yet you just can't shake it. The kingdom of God is going to end up as the greatest of all trees eventually. But it does not start that way. The kingdom of God starts small, even secretive, in the lives and hearts of those who choose to follow God. And so, I ask you to realize the vast amount of potential that is contained in a small seed or a small idea that God places in your heart, and realize as you leave here today that the kingdom of God is within you. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.